Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Hello?
Hello, is this Dr. Roseman?
This is she, how are you?
Hi, Grace, J. Sordian.
Nice to speak with you.
Likewise. So, thank you for agreeing to do this interview with me.
Sure.
And is it okay if I record it?
Yes, of course.
Fantastic. So, I read the book. It's extremely fascinating.
Which book did you read?
Well, you sent me over the HeartMath Brain Fitness Program.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so, I read that as a prerequisite to talking with you.
Okay.
And so... A few questions, and again, I'm working on a book that's called Super Brain: Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, what you do with the M Wave and the heart math and all certainly fits into that very well.
Uh-huh.
So, no, you started. When did you actually start using and inventing the device and the tracking?
Well, actually, you know, our research institute started in 1990, and we actually were able to do a lot of research on how the heart and brain communicate, and we saw that when the heart rate variability or heart rhythm pattern was in a sine wave or coherent mode, that alpha rhythms and higher brain waves synchronized, and it facilitated executive functions and higher cortical functions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to give people the ability to get into that heart coherent state as quickly and as often as possible, and then to retrain their system to have more of that naturally occurring, so they have more access to their, you know, to their larger picture view and greater intelligence. And that's where we developed the technology in order, you know, from the lab equipment, so people could see in real time with the M wave, you know, and when they were in heart coherence, because that way they would know what their brain was synchronized to their heart. That was the simplest tool for people to see that. And so the Brain Fitness Program is techniques to use with the technology. So we first developed it in 2000, and then the research on ADD, ADHD, memory, all this research that you see in the book kept, you know, increasing.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where you see that we have that, and people can use that to improve their feelings, their emotions, learning emotional management, but also in their decision-making, make clearer choices, see a bigger picture. And again, we've refined the technology, you know, all along. And last year we brought out the iPhone version, where you plug a sensor into the charger port of your iPad or iPhone and then clip it onto your earlobe to get the pulse. And then the algorithm converts it to your heart rate variability and then how much coherence you have, and you can click onto the heart cloud and keep track of your progress and your scores and get trophies and rewards for practice.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's a really incredible technology that you've created. The you mentioned something about alpha waves. And so in that process, in your initial research, you're a research psychologist also.
Correct? Uh-huh.
And so you were studying and you found that there was increased amounts of alpha wave activity when people were doing that, or
well,
using that?
Yes, but we found mostly that the alpha wave rhythm, the wave, synchronized with that smooth, coherent heart rhythm.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. So it was primarily alpha wave, or did other wave forms also go into that same sine pattern?
There were other waveforms too, blood pressure waves, brain waves.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can look at the research on the website, heartmath.org.
All right.
And look at that, and you can really, you can see the pictures of it and everything.
Right.
There's a booklet called The Coherent Heart that explains all of the cognitive research, the brainwave research we've done.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the book that you had sent me in all the HeartMath Brain Fitness outcomes is very fascinating. The wide range of different situations where you have been able to show the positive benefits in a wide range of applications.
Right. It's amazing, isn't it, when you really see what people can do for themselves.
It is very amazing.
You know, when they learn how to get in sync, when they learn how to just regulate their emotion and heart rhythm and the brain, they take charge of what we used to think was just autonomic and impossible to manage. And then we see the results in society when you really think about it. People don't manage their heart rhythms, right? They don't manage their emotions, so they're very connected. And now we know that people can. We can train people to do that very simply. In fact, children can learn how to do this and should learn how to do this because they're coming to school not emotionally prepared to learn, and that's affecting their study, their ability to memorize or absorb information, their anxiety levels, and their test scores. So it's all connected.
So this process also does help with the stress response.
Predominantly. One of the first things it does, because if you're having a stress response, then your heart rhythms are incoherent or desynchronized, and your whole brain rhythms are desynchronized. The thalamus is the brain center that synchronizes all cortical function. And there's a direct pathway from the heart to the thalamus. So when you're in stress response and your body is feeling anxious, frustrated, and, you know, it signals the thalamus to desynchronize the cortical function and inhibits cortical function so you can go into a survival mode, you know, fight, flight, response.
Interesting. So the higher cortical function that helps to inhibit those kind of reflexes, or the more early stage neurological development reflexes and responses, so that the higher cortical function helps to inhibit that. And so in the process of stress, that inhibition is reduced. Is that what you're suggesting?
In the process of stress,
yeah,
that in cortical inhibition is increased. Meaning you don't think as clearly. You say things you later regret.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I see. Right, right. Exactly.
You don't have access to your higher executive functions.
Uh-huh.
You don't see a bigger picture.
You're right.
You're focused on trying to, you know, mine's very focused on what do I do to get out of here, to feel better, to, you know, you're very reactive, and you're stuck in that box. And that's a survival response. So when you switch to the heart coherence, it sends a different pattern, different waveform, different signal from the heart to the brain, to the thalamus, then synchronizes cortical function, and you see a bigger picture, your perception shifts, you feel better, you do better. That's why you want to manage stress, because stress shuts down your intelligence.
Makes a lot of sense.
Stress helps. But that's really only when you're in this creative dynamic and you're still feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're emotionally stressed and you don't feel so good, it shuts everything down.
Fascinating. So the thalamus, also the amygdala, is in what fashion is that also involved there?
The amygdala, there's a direct line of communication between the heart and the amygdala.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a different pathway.
All right.
But the signal, if the heart sends an incoherent signal to the amygdala is a pattern matching, you know, center of the brain, and it's going to look for previous experiences where you felt that stress or anxiety or anger, and it's going to trigger those. So that's how we get emotionally hijacked, because it's matching the pattern, and that's how we develop a stress habit, an anxiety habit, an anger habit. Now, if you switch to this heart coherence state, that sends a different signal, different pattern to the amygdala from the heart rhythm. And the amygdala pattern matches that to when we felt more balanced or positive, and we are able to then have more emotional balance in our responses.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that was very, very beautifully explained.
Oh, good.
There is a chiropractic neurologist whose name is Robert Melello. I don't know if you know his work. And he has written a book called Disconnected Kids and also Reconnected. And he talks about a functional disconnection syndrome that seems that he feels assumes a lot of the different issues having to do with autism, ADHD, emotional outbursts, Asperger's, etc., and that there one side of the brain tends to overdevelop, and then the other side becomes weaker. And so this big picture thing is considered often to be more right-brained function. Perhaps would you agree with that, or? So, in what way? I mean, it certainly sounds like the M-Wave technology and the skill sets, etc., may be creating more connection between the two halves of the brain. And so that's a very exciting additional way that people can actually address some of those imbalances as far as the neurological development of one side versus the other hemisphere.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, that is balance. You know, we want the two hemispheres synchronized and talking to each other because that gives us both our bigger picture view, our more intuitive sense, our analytical, you know.
That's right.
All those options.
Mm-hmm. So in a number of the exercises, a person focuses in their heart region. I guess you just put your, like, conscious thought down there and expressing gratitude and positive thoughts, correct?
Mm-hmm. So, well, your feeling. It's the shift to the feeling state. You focus in the area of your heart.
Uh-huh.
You pretend like the breath is coming in through that area and out through that area, because that helps create balance between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps set the stage to bring your autonomic nervous system into more balance. Then you activate a feeling of something you're grateful for in your life. The more you generally can feel that sincere feeling of gratitude or love or care for your pet or appreciation, kindness, it's the feeling that creates that smooth waveform that you can then sustain it without having to keep thinking about the breath. And you end up, you know, feeling better, doing better. And that is the key to it, is learning how to live more in the heart, in those positive heart feelings.
That's very interesting. So would you think that, or have you found that people who do have a lot of meditation experience, or even musicians who are like, who play instruments that require breath control, do they tend to catch on more quickly, or is there any relevance?
They can, but, you know, it's not just breathing exercises. If we were breathing and that's all we needed to do, we'd all be enlightened. You know, the breathing exercises have been around forever.
Right, right.
It really is the emotional shift.
Mm-hmm. And so, and how did you discover that? That emotional shift part? That
uh-huh. Seems... Well, we discovered it by actually looking at, knowing that as a meditator in ourselves, when we made positive emotional shifts, we felt better. I mean, anybody knows that.
Right.
But when we looked at what was happening in the physiology, and we hooked people up to see what we could see in the brain waves,
uh-huh.
Not a whole lot, unless the heart waves changed first. And that was really a breakthrough, to see that the heart was really controlling or regulating or reflecting our emotion faster than the brain. And so the brain would light up, but after the heart would make the rhythm shift. And
oh.
That was very, very interesting. And so we then began to develop techniques to help people and technologies do that rhythm shift first. And we found that what helped the rhythm shift was actually a genuine feeling of appreciation or kindness or care. It shifted it really fast.
Wow. That's so amazing. That is a huge breakthrough. So in doing the research, you were using electrocardiograms and electroencephalograms at the same time? Or?
Oh, yeah. We looked at galvanic skin response. We looked at everything.
Oh, fascinating. Wow. Amazing. Well, this has been extremely fascinating and very, very helpful. Any other things that you like to say as far as practicality goes? The book, I'm trying to put in a variety of things that people can use to really improve brain function, but this whole aspect of the emotional side too is something I don't want to neglect.
Well, the emotional side is critical, because people can try to play Scrabble or brain games or Sudoku or do all the things that are wonderful for keeping your brain mentally going. But without the emotional alignment with the mind and without the emotional input and the heart's input, we aren't seeing the results, I mean, that's sustainable and certainly in quality of life. And that's why Sharp Brains, you know, focus groups found our M-Wave technology to be, you know, and we didn't focus. When they did that analysis, we didn't focus on brain fitness at all. We went, oh my goodness, we should write a booklet of how to use this for brain fitness and decision making and in, you know, the techniques that are in there, like the freeze frame technique for more, heart brain aligned and intuitive decision making. We should put that in there because the Sharp Brains found that just by getting in heart coherence, people had better memory, more mental clarity, felt better, made better decisions, had clearer thinking.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to leave the emotion or the heart out when you talk about brain fitness.
Absolutely not.
The brain.
Yeah.
The heart's the key to the brain fitness. When the brain dies, you know, we don't have much functionality, but there are starts still beating. When the heart dies, the brain is gone.
Good point. Yeah, well, certainly the heart starts beating early on in the whole pregnancy process, too.
The heart is the very first organ to form.
Exactly.
In the fetus.
Exactly. So that's totally fascinating. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. And what I will do is I'm going to review this and decide which aspects would be okay to give you another call afterwards
of
just
course.
To review it and get permission.
And I'd like to, you know, review it. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And so I do have your email. It's G, well, let's see, what is it? G Bomer? No.
No, that's Gabriella, my PR person.
There you go.
You can CC me, but you should also go through here.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. If you're interested in finding out more about how you or your relatives can avoid dementia, buy the book, Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, 7 Key Memory Care Actions to Avoid Alzheimer's and Successfully Keep Your Brain Safe, Sharp, and Sexy into the Future, by going to OutsmartingDementia.com. That's OutsmartingDementia.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Sordian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you.